Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Well, it is half a century since the fall of Saigon. Now, of course, it's officially Ho Chi Minh City. So that is the biggest city in South Vietnam. I know there's one Vietnam, the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, but you might not be aware that from 1954 to 1975, Vietnam was divided between North Vietnam and South Vietnam. And all right, not for the first time. There wasn't such a firm geographical division prior to that. Vietnam has sometimes been three countries, sometimes two, often one countries. But the division on that particular line was a very recent thing. It was an American plan when France was defeated and Vietnam was becoming independent to try and make sure the whole of Vietnam wasn't taken over by communists. The 1954 division was supposed to be temporary for reunification within 2 years, but these temporary solutions have a habit of becoming permanent. Now, it didn't become permanent, but it lasted 2 years. About 3 million people were killed in the effort to reunite a Vietnam under a communist regime. So Saigon, it's the same name as the river that flows through the city. All things are very boring when the city and the river are the same. And Bandon in County Cork, the river Bandon flows through, or Moscow has got the river Moscow. I can't think of any at the moment any other cities where the city and the river that bisects it have the same name. So the 30th of April. Anyway, the United States was fighting in Vietnam from 1964. Don't want to tell you the whole story of the Vietnam conflict. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution, where the United States Congress authorized President Lyndon Baines Johnson to use all necessary measures to repel aggression in Southeast Asia. Now, of course, America's foes would say, yeah, but the aggression was American, not by the Vietnamese communists. So anyway, there was a capitalist dictatorship in South Vietnam. The Americans liked to pretend it was about democracy, but it wasn't. It was a flagrant sham. Despite that, South Vietnam was in many ways an open society. You could buy and sell what you want. You could leave the country. There wasn't a control freak society. There was no state planned economy and things like that. There was a bourgeoisie and there was some color and some glamour, indeed some vice. It wasn't this regimented Stalinist hellhole that North Vietnam had. People were allowed to practice any faith they wanted, was obviously not the case in North Vietnam. A lot of Vietnamese Christians fled to the south, and obviously Christianity was only ever quite a minority religion in Vietnam. The Vietnamese, if they had any religion, was usually Buddhism, that blended with a bit of ancestor worship. So the United States had pulled out in 1973 of the Paris Peace Accords. Richard Milhouse Nixon was still president, believing that the North Vietnamese would not interfere with South Vietnam and they could reunite peacefully. But the North Vietnamese broke that. They had the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia on their side. Rouge is a French word for red, because red's a communist color. The Pathet Lao, Laotian communists on their side as well. And so South Vietnam was defended by the ARVN, the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, the ARVN, as the Americans called it. So a lot of people thought that South Vietnam, the Republic of Vietnam, would collapse with enormous rapidity as soon as the United States withdrew. They held out not for 6 months, as many forecasts, but more like 2 years. The US had gifted them a lot of, tanks, helicopters, armored personnel carriers, howitzers, things like that, been training for about 9 years. Vietnamization towards the end to make the South Vietnamese do the fighting. The Americans and their other allies withdrew, the South Koreans, small Spanish medical unit, Australians, New Zealanders. Johnson wanted more flags. He particularly wanted the United Kingdom to fight, even if it was a token force. But the Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, carried on puffing on his pipe. It was deeply unpopular, especially as many British people felt the United States had let them down over Suez in 1956. But anyway, so the ARVN, they fought a bit better than some had forecast. Troubles, they're riven with corruption. I read the memoirs of Colin Powell, that American general who died just a couple of years ago. And he said, the trouble was the peculation in North Vietnam. And yes, there were some sturdy soldiers, but some of the officers were real poltroons, were robbing the people blind, not paying them properly, selling off fuel, rations, anything, promotion on the basis of bribery, letting people get away from military service just because they could cross the general's palm with silver and so on. Then in the spring of 1975, they began to advance very rapidly, the NVA, North Vietnamese Army, and the VC, Viet Cong, as in who were South Vietnamese guerrillas. And any Christians are very worried because the communists were violently anti-Christian. Wealthy people, anyone who was sympathetic to the government of the Republic of Vietnam wanted to get out, and so on. Nixon thought, could they even withdraw, or could the sorry Americans even intervene again? But Congress wasn't going to allow that. They'd remember, okay, he commands the military, going to use them abroad with congressional authority, and obviously the commander-in-chief doesn't control the purse strings. Congress controls the money, and they wouldn't vote any funding for this. The Democrats totally against, and even most Republicans felt this is a lost cause. We're not pouring away more good money after bad, and so on. There was the defense attaché officer, who was a tiny number of US military officers there, really as advisors. And remember, it started out as an advisory mission in the late 1950s, and to get all American wives out, any children. There still were a few. Some Americans even had South Vietnamese girlfriends. Some of them were evacuated as well, and then military personnel and so on. So by this time it was Gerald Ford, because of course August 1974, Rick Nixon had resigned after the Watergate scandal. His vice president Gerald Ford took over, and of course Gerald Ford wasn't even elected vice president because Nixon's previous vice president Spiro Agnew had resigned over some of the scandal. Congress had elected Gerald Ford, not the Electoral College, and Gerald Ford got bumped up to be vice president, so to be president when Nixon himself resigned. Then Congress elected another vice president who was, God, it'll come to me, from that famous American political family, the very, very rich guy. It's not Getty, it's the other one, Rockefeller. I think Nelson Rockefeller, who'd been US ambassador to Vietnam in the early 60s. So it's a curious situation from 1974 onwards. Neither the president nor the vice president of the United States was elected, even by the Electoral College. Okay, so there are over 2,000 orphans there, mostly Vietnamese who were sired by American soldiers, and they were evacuated and so on. So the evacuation, that actually worked quite well. I mean, they evacuated over 20,000 South Vietnamese civilians. I mean, there was something like 90,000 that they'd wanted to evacuate. They couldn't all get out by boat. I mean, you can't take the whole population of South Vietnam out. An awful lot of people had will help the Americans in some way or other. People have to take little or no luggage to maximize space. I even heard of people having to stand in the aisle of planes and take off when it's very dangerous just to cram more people in. And only one plane crash, because there could have been a lot more, because they couldn't be absorbing all sorts of the proper protocol to only take off when it's really safe to go, long after the next plane has left the runway. So there were about 2,500 American civilians by the end in late April, and they got most of them out. Some Americans even opted to stay. Don't quite understand. Maybe some journalists. So that was it. Some South Vietnamese managed to get by ship to various U.S. naval vessels and brought to the Philippines, because they didn't have the legal right to go to the United States. The president couldn't simply grant them asylum. I don't know how it worked. But anyway, by the 27th of April, the communists had closed in on Saigon. It was absolutely obvious that Saigon was going to be overrun. So Duong Van Minh had become president by this stage. Big Minh. He'd been president briefly after the overthrow and slaying of Ngo Dinh Diem in 1963. He came back. Thieu Cai had been president until early 1975. Had wept on television when he felt stabbed in the back by his American allies. He'd thrown him to the wolves and so on, and that was it. So the communists chose not to impede the American evacuation, saying, okay, we could take the capital almost bloodlessly. Would it be declared città aperta? But it wasn't. Whereas if we shoot down one of these helicopters evacuating the Americans, then there might be American airstrikes on us. We don't want to provoke that. We just want them to get out. And so that they did that, this sort of unwritten understanding. It was Operation Frequent Wind to get them out. And then a guy called Martin, he was the US ambassador who stayed to almost the very end, very gallantly. He could have gone out sooner. And he was so determined to be the last one to leave. The Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, even thought Martin might refuse to leave at the last minute. So gave secret orders to the US Marines who guard all US embassies. If Martin refuses to leave, you grab him, you take him by force if necessary. I know he's the ambassador and you're even the lowest rank in the Marines, but you do it, because we can't have him falling into communist hands. So they were, flying people out from the US embassy. So anyway, that was it. But that was the Cold War, became a communist state. Re-education camps were really slave labor for anybody who supported an open society in South Vietnam. And many of them died from the brutality, the torture, the malnutrition, the overwork in those re-education camps. So there was communist brainwashing the population. But in the end, the mighty dollar won. Now, Bill Clinton, mass murdering scumbag, he certainly was. But he went to South Vietnam about 20 years later and declared relations had been normalized, reestablished diplomatic relations and trade. And really, South Vietnam, well, the whole of Vietnam, sorry, changed to the capitalist system. And the Communist Party is still in charge and they welcome Western tourists. And obviously, maybe it's not that bad now. It's a fairly poor country. Most of them want to get out. And I remember in the early 90s, the boat people, Vietnamese people taking anything that would float to go to Hong Kong, then a British colony, to any free country in Southeast Asia, or coming to meet to Western countries. And that was it. And when the communists got to the presidential palace, there was a surrender. I remember when I visited the South Vietnamese presidential palace, a dairy man, another Irishman, I happened to meet there saying, yes. And the communist commander said, well, you've nothing to hand over, but your unconditional surrender. And the dairy man was saying this evident approval, obviously sympathizing the communist side despicably. So that was it. It was taken over. And so the US really didn't want to fight abroad. They were sort of traumatized about that, very reluctant to intervene anywhere, very small scale operations. Let's say, oh, thank you. You should thank my hairdresser. Where was it? In Grenada, with the US's overwhelming force, they sure they could win that one very, very quickly with minimal casualties, or 1989 in Panama. And there was great hesitance about liberating Kuwait in 1991, but eventually they did it. And it was a resounding success of the Americans with minimal casualties. It's only after 9/11 the US got into the idea of fighting abroad and did that for 20 years. But people were traumatized by Vietnam. It was seen as a domino that went. The domino theory became communist. So did Laos. So did Cambodia. But it didn't spread further. Thailand remained anti-communist. So the contagion didn't spread as far as the Americans had feared, but that's partly because of fairly popular monarchy, but also the communists being so bled white in Vietnam and so on, it's paid such a very, very heavy price. They didn't have the strength or the taste to do any more fighting. And so those US military who'd served in Vietnam suddenly felt traumatized, abandoned by society that didn't appreciate them. They didn't value them, sometimes insulted as baby killers when they came home, and that felt that they didn't get the recognition that they deserved. Should the US have fought? Maybe yes, maybe no, but that's not the fault of the ordinary soldiers who didn't pick the war. Anyway, so that is the fall of Saigon. And it's often still called Saigon in common parlance rather than the official name Ho Chi Minh City. Thank you for watching the channel. Toodaloo, everyone. And so make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.